Well, a very good morning to you, my dear listeners. A very good morning to you, Namibia. And welcome. Welcome to your number one talk radio station in the land. It's a Thursday morning. To many, actually, today, it feels like it's a Friday. It's more like it's a Friday. You know, tomorrow is Friday, but today feels like it's a Friday because tomorrow is a public holiday. So it's a Friday for many today. So where are you going for your Easter weekend? I think many of you probably might be on the road as well today. Please, if you are traveling, make sure that your car, your vehicle is in good condition. Check all what need to be checked. And make sure that you drive safely to your destination. So, yeah, we also have the tournament coming up, the Te Akuku tournament Easter weekend that is coming up. So maybe you're traveling to go and attend that. So and we will be broadcasting that tournament as well. So how is your morning? How is your morning? I think many of you probably have put in already leave. And it could be on the road, and thank you for tuning in on this morning, and you're welcome, and it's always a pleasure for us to have you and for joining us this morning. So my name is Mike Oshaveni, and this is Unpacking the Day. So this is the show, your daily dose of what is really going on, what is going on in terms of business, economic, and and politics. So every weekday we come here. Every day we come here to cut through, and we know what we do. We cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear. And always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect of those of Eagle FM, but we're here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of this bigger conversation. So yeah, this is your space, this is your platform where you can unpack with me and get to the heart of the story. So good morning and welcome. So welcome. It's about 6 minutes past the hour of eight. So I will be with you until 10 o'clock. So yeah, join me in unpacking the day. So, and we have so much to unpack, but before we do that, we normally, what we do, we go into time. So we go back into time, into history, and, we start with our first segment that's looking at on this day in Africa. Today is the 2nd of April, so good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are across this beautiful, beautiful continent and beyond. You might find yourself outside of this continent as well. So welcome to On This Day in Africa. So today we are turning the pages back to 2nd of April, a date that has shaped history in a ways that, in a ways both, inspiring and also heartbreaking. So, yeah, let's get into it. Let's get into it. So we start in 1904. And as Namibian, we know what happened in 1904 in what was then called German Southwest Africa. So modern day, Namibia, the land of the brave. On this day, the Herero warriors pull off something remarkable. You know, they ambushed a German military column near Okahanja, So how, what was it called? I forgot that name. So yeah, Niao Kanja. And in that clash, 32 German soldiers were killed. Now, let put that a little bit in the context. So the Herero people had been watching their land get stolen and their cattle slaughtered by colonial settlers. And they decided, nah, man, we had enough. We have enough. We had enough. So this ambush was one of the first big victories of what became the Herero Uprising, a fight for, of course, a fight for their own survival. Now, and here is now the tragedy that followed. So what happened? The Germans' response was really, really brutal. They sent in more troops. And what came next is now recognized as one of the earliest genocide of the 20th century. So the Herero and the Nama genocide, which claimed tens of thousands of lives between 1904 and 1908. So today, we remember both the courage of that resistance and the immense suffering, I think, that actually followed. All right. Now, let's fast forward to 1930. Let's fast forward to 1930, where we are heading to Ethiopia. Now, on the 2nd of April, 1930, Empress Zutitu passed away. With her death, a new era began. A man named Rastafari Makonnen was proclaimed emperor. Now, you might know him better by the name he took, Haile Selassie. Now, his formal correlation, you know, when you become an emperor, there's that correlation. His formal correlation would actually follow later that year in November. But this was the moment power changed hands. So now, Haile Selassie, he wasn't just an emperor. So he was not just an emperor. He was a modernizer. Okay? He was a modernizer. And he pushed Ethiopia forward with a new constitution. And he stood up to a colonial power. Most famously, when Mussolini, you know, Mussolini's Italy, invaded in 1935. So he became a towering figure in the fight for African independence and Pan-African identity. Now, you know the movement, the Rastafari movement, you know, even them took their name from him. So the 2nd April 1930 was a turning point, not just for Ethiopia, but for the whole continent. Jump ahead to 2004, and we are in Angola. And here's a story that still sparks debate today. Okay? On the 2nd April 2004, the Angolan government made a bold announcement. They would reject United Nations food shipment that contain genetically modified maize. So we're talking about over 19,000 tons of American supplied GM maize being turned away at the border, you know. And Angola wasn't alone in this. We had Zambia, Zimbabwe as well had taken similar stand as well. So their reasoning was that they were concerned about the environment and about long-term health effect from this food. But the decision came with a heavy cost. You know, the UN World Food Program warned that nearly 2 million Angolans could face food shortages as a result. So, and this, and that is the heart, really, of the dilemma. Now, on one hand, you have got people who are hungry and desperately hungry. And on the other hand, you have a government, you know, saying, we don't fully trust this technology and we won't let our people be experiment. So, it is a debate that still hasn't been settled, not in Angola and not across Africa. So, yeah. And finally, let's land in 2024 in Senegal on the 2nd of April 2024. Well, a new chapter in West African democracy was written. Bissorou Diomaye Faye was sworn in as a president of Senegal. Now, and at just this guy was just 44 years old. He became the youngest elected president in the country's history. So his rise to power captured the imagination not just for Senegalese people, but of millions across the continent who are hungry for a new generation of leadership. So hopefully we hoped that, you know, that imagination should have, you know, run across the whole Africa. But we see totally different, more old gogos, you know, still cling on power. So it was a moment that said, well, the future belongs to the young, to the youth, to the young people, and they are ready to lead. So, which is the case still, I think, today. Well, my friends, that, my friend, is on this day in Africa, and this continent never stop making history. All right, welcome, and good morning. If you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day, and we're just looking at, on this day in Africa, how Africa made history. All right, it's the Thursday, the 2nd of April. So what is our thought for the day today? So today, I think our thought is very simple, okay? Today's thought is very simple. Not everyone is actually a reader. Not everyone is actually ready for power. So the proverb says, never give a sword to a fool or power to an unjust man. All right? Never give a sword to a fool or power to an unjust man. Now, in a simple terms, really, it means that when power is placed in a wrong hands, it can cause harm instead of good. So a fool may use power carelessly, and an unjust person may use it, you know, may use it actually to punish others, silence truth, you know, or benefit only themselves. Now, that is why power must always be matched with wisdom, fairness, and most importantly, a sense of responsibility. So, as we go through this day, let us remember, power is not just about control. It is about how you use it, who you serve, and whether you make it life better or worse for others. This is Unpacking the Day, and that is today's thought. All right, that's today's thought for the day. So, all right. Let's look forward. Let's look forward. What are we looking forward to this morning? What is our discussion? What are we unpacking? All right. There is a very, very, very interesting, you know, article covered by Ecofin Agency. So looking at Namibia has now begun a formal negotiation with formal negotiation with Total Energy over Venus deep water oil project in the Orange Basin. Now, so the articles say this could be the biggest economic deal in our country's history, you know, potentially generating up to 12 billion euros in estate revenue over 25 years. So, but it's also highlighting aspect that an angle that it also carries an enormous risk. You know, there are unresolved dispute and also questions about whether Namibia's institutions are ready for a negotiation of this magnitude. That's what we're going to looking at this morning. We're going to look at this unevenness, you know, in this negotiation between Total Energies, that's a giant that has experience in this field, in this sector for years, and Namibia, which is actually, you know, a frontier market. So that's what we're going to look at in today's edition of Unpacking, and other stories if we still have a time. And of course, you know, your participation will also be part of the show. I want you to unpack this with me. All right. So, and our line, you will be able to call in through, or you can, our line, it's all right. So our line has, it's fine. So you'll be able to come through as normal. So good morning to you and welcome. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. So stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yeah, that's right. That's very right. Stay connected with Eagle FM anytime, anywhere. Anytime, anywhere. Wherever you are, you can listen to Eagle FM through Eagle FM. I mean, you can listen through Eagle FM website as well. So you can go to our website, get in your office. I don't feel okay. No, I can't get out of my car and go and listen. No. Just get out. If you have a computer and if you have a internet, you can be able to listen to us on our website. So we are live there as well. But what you can do is also to download Eagle FM mobile app. You can download the Eagle FM mobile app through Google Play or Play Store. And on the app, there are so many things. You have podcasts, you have news, you have, you know, different shows there, schedules of different shows. You have vacancies sometimes, you know, there are so many reports from different institutions. Especially when it comes to economic report, business report, international report. So make sure that you download that. All right. So make sure that you are not left behind, because definitely, if you don't do that, Uliko ni maesiga. Toka na kwa ni maesiga. Okay. Nantia la ukareko ni maesiga. Alright. So good morning, Namibia. And you are tuning into Unpacking the Day. And I'm your host, Big Mike Oshoveli. Now, I want you to pull up your chair, grab your cup of tea, because what we're going to do, and settle in, man, because this morning we are talking about the single most important negotiation our country has ever entered into. So that's why I really, really, really want you to unpack this with me. So, but you have to do it. You know, you gotta be settled in, you know, feel relaxed. So the number of aspects we are going to talk, to get into, the number of aspects that we are going to get into are covered, as I said earlier on, in an article by the ECOFIN agency. So, and it's looking at, this negotiation Namibia, currently in now for the final, the final investment decisions of Total Energies. So, all right. Now, and there's something at stake here. 12 billion euros. That is the number being actually thrown around when people talking about, what the Venus oil project could bring into Namibia's coffer over the next 25 years. So, yeah, 12 billion euros. All right? So, in a country where more than one in three people cannot find work, that kind of money does not just actually change budget. So that amount of money cannot just change budget, but it changed the future. Definitely, it does change the future. You have to understand the magnitude of that kind of money and the negotiation that would then be involved. But here is the issue now. The issue is that that money is not guaranteed. So as we're sitting here right now, that money is not guaranteed, is not sitting in a bank account somewhere waiting for us. No. So it's every single cent of it, every single cent of it has to be negotiated. It has to be fought. We have to fight for it. Remember, this is not, we're kind of imagining that, well, we have the oil and all this and the money, just, you know, there's money there that being invested and it's just waiting. No. Everything, every cent of it has to be negotiated. We have to fight for it. You know, it has to be structured in contracts. That's one thing. It has to be structured in a contract. There must be laws and agreement by government that, and let us be honest, has never been done anything. We have never been done anything like this before. And Namibia, we haven't been done anything like this before. So the magnitude of the kind of this project is huge, huge. And on the other side of the table, okay? Now we're talking about on the other side of the table, one of the biggest oil companies on the planet. This is one of the biggest oil companies on the planet. So it's more like David and Goliath. Okay, in terms of size, maybe not in terms of what's the end, what happened at the end of that story, but in terms of size, it's really David and Goliath, you know. So what are we going to do now? We're going to unpack this David and Goliath. So we're going to unpack this now, looking at what is the Venus project? What is the Venus project? Why does it matter right now? So remember, now we are in that process of towards the end of maybe at the end of the last quarter of this year, we will have to, the decision have to be made. Okay. So, and who are the players? We're going to also look at who are the players, and most important is, what is actually at stake for us? Okay, what is at stake for us and for the kind of country Namibia becomes in the next 30 years? Because this decision would definitely change Namibia. And we need to look at this very, 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 very seriously. We need to get informed. We need to understand, you know, what is going on. So what is the process? So that's what we're going to do. And that's what I want you to do with me. So let's go into it now. Okay. So about 300 kilometers off the coast of Namibia. Okay. I want to give you all the information for you to understand the complexity of what we're talking about. So about 300 kilometers off the coast of Namibia, in the deep water of the Orange Basin, there sits an oil field called Venus. And when I say deep, and I mean deep, you know, we're talking about water depth exceeding 3,000 meters. So 3,000 meter deep, okay? So that's about 3 kilometers. Do you know how far is 3 kilometers? Eh? Do you know how far is 3 kilometers? Yeah, 3,000 meters is 3 kilometers. Hmm? Do you know how deep is going down that? So we will talk about this after this commercial.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Hello, welcome back. And a very good morning if you're just joining us. And if you're just joining us, we are looking at Namibia has just begun a formal negotiation with Total Energies over the Venus deep water oil project in the Orange Basin. So, and this negotiation is for, you know, is the final decision for investment. All right. So now we're looking at this. I'm just giving you now. I'm going to give you a really, really background, not just a background, looking at a different aspect that actually covered in one of these articles, just me to bring it to your attentions and so that we can understand better the process to the decision making, and where we are in terms with this. So now, as I said, you know, the Venus, it's about 300 kilometers in the sea off the coast of Namibia, 300 kilometers. So what is that? It's like traveling from Windhoek to, it's not even to Chuarongo. You still have maybe to up to Tsumeb. So that's how you're traveling that deep in the sea, in the water. So, and in terms of depth, so it's exceeding 3,000 kilometers. Sorry, 3,000 meters. So, and that's not a drilling operation you just walk into. All right. So when you're talking about 3 kilometer, you know, depth, that's not a drilling operation you just walk into. That is engineering at the absolute edge of what human being can do. So you understand the magnitude now Okay? So just for you to understand the magnitude. Now, the Venus field is believed to hold roughly 2 billion barrels of recoverable oil. Okay? 2 billion. Okay? 2 billion barrels of recoverable oil. Now, 2 billion barrels, that is a world-class asset by any measure. By any measure, that's the world-class asset. So now, the plan now, if everything goes according to the company's vision, is actually to put a floating production platform out there, okay? A floating production platform out there, basically a massive ship that processes oil right on the water. You know, capable now pumping about 150,000 barrels per day. So there will be this massive, massive ship, okay, that will be now processing oil right on the water. Okay, that's called the floating production platform. So, and that would be capable of pumping about 150,000 barrels per day. Okay? Now, the first oil, as what we are waiting, the first oil could come. We're talking now about this in terms of the Venus project. So the first oil could come as early as 2029, you know? And if this is now if the final investment decision is made before the end of this year. So if it's made before the end of this year, so the forecast is that, you know, by 2029 the first oil will be produced. Now, the operator, the company running this whole thing, is the Total Energies. Okay? That is the French energy giant. So, and in 2025 alone, they pulled in roughly 82 billion euros in revenue. 82 billion euros in revenue. Now, their annual investment portfolio, nearly $18 billion. So, Venus is just one, to the total, when we're talking about Total Energies, Venus is just one project in a very, very large portfolio for them. For them, this is just one project, you know, in a very, very, very large portfolio. You know, For Namibia, this is the project. For us, this is the project. This is the moment. You know, for us, this is the moment. So as you can see, that, you know, unevenness, that gap between what is the deal means for them versus what it means for us, I think that's the heart of this morning conversation. That unevenness, what does that deal mean for them? Okay? And what does it mean for us? As I said, for them, this is just one project in a very, very, very large portfolio. Okay? But for us, this is their project. This is the project. We need this project. And this is our moment. All right? So, now to understand why this moment actually matters so much, you need to understand where Namibia is coming from. Where are we coming from? Our country has never, you know, we have never produced a single barrel of commercial oil. Not one. Okay? We have been exploring, yes, hoping, and also certainly, you know, probably hoping that one day we will be able to do that. We have no oil history. No oil infrastructure. Now, remember this, we don't have this, you know, we don't have this in place already. So no oil history, no infrastructure, no oil culture. We don't have that. And we are in, you know, we are in the language of the industry, we are a frontier market. Okay? Now, for years, the Orange Basin was, you know, whispered about a potential, you know, how would I say it? Potential game changer, okay? So that's the word, okay? So then came these big discoveries. First Venus, then others. Okay, we have the others, you know. So the basin was suddenly being compared to some of the, you know, some of the most productive offshore region in the world. So we were now compared to with some of the really most productive offshore region in the world. So what happened? There was an excitement. We get excited. There was a hype. You know, there were headlines calling Namibia the next big thing in African oil, you know. So, but then the reality started to bite. In January 2025, you remember Shell, you know, another major oil company operating in the same basin. It was operating in the same basin. It wrote off $400 million from its offshore Namibian asset. Okay? It wrote off that amount. So they hit a problem. So what was the problem? They hit a problem with the reservoir permeability. Is that the word? Permeability? Yeah. A reservoir permeability. Yeah. So actually that means that in a very simple term, it means, and I'm putting it very simple, the rock underground were not cooperating, okay? The rocks that are underground were not cooperating. So the oil was there, but getting it out at a commercial rate, okay, was harder than expected. So that's why they wrote off, you know, $400 million from its offshore Namibian asset. Okay? So, yeah, the problem was reservoir permeability. Okay? I remember the word. Because we have been talking, I remember, you know, questioning somebody on those. Now, the write-down did not direct affect now. That write-down didn't affect actually Venus because the geology is different. Okay? The geology is different. But what it does, it actually shattered the idea that everything in the Orange Basin was going to be easy money. I think we kind of like, that's going to be easy money. So the geology is different from Venus, but I think the idea that that's going to be easy for, you know, for the rest, I think that actually was shattered by what happened. So then closer to home, South Africa, the South African court annulled offshore environment permit for the Total Energies in 2025. So, and of course, that decision was in, even if it was a different jurisdiction, but it sent a signal across the entire region. So the regulatory environment around this offshore project is very fragile. It's very fragile, and legal challenge can show things, you know, and can slow things down and even stop them. So that was a signal. So here we are in April 2026. Okay? So I hope you're following me. I'm just trying to give peace to understand where we are. So we are now in 2026. President Nantu Netumbonan Ndaitwa, she has inherited, you know, these things were coming from the previous administration. So she inherited the entire situation, the enormous opportunity. This is an enormous opportunity, and the growing pile of complications as well. There were other things that were coming through, that were piling up as well. So her government has started now reviewing the field development plan that Total Energy submitted. Okay? The field developing plan that Total Energy submitted. Now, that review is essentially the opening move in a higher stake negotiation that we're talking about. That will now shape our economy. That will shape our economy future for many years to come. So that is the most important things now where we are at. So now let's look at who owns what. Okay, let's come now to this Venus project. Who owns what? So let me introduce you to the players at the table. Who is at the table? Because understanding who holds what, I think, is the key to understanding the power dynamic at play. So for you to understand who will make a decision, eh, we have to understand who is the owner. Eh? So in Namibia, that's very important. Who is the owner? Okay, for you, as I said, for us to understand that power dynamic at play, we need to understand who are the owners. Now, we understand that the Total Energy is the operator. Okay, Total Energy is the operator. They hold 35.25% stake after an expected transfer of share from, you remember, the Galp Energia, the Portuguese company that will now retain 10%. So we'll come after this.
Kapena we shara dingiryo kui nyanyu za karisho mawaza nogo kumbogo tse ya kuku Easter Soccer Tournament moike mdanjono erondo. Tuwaimina anopoka fare kwa mawaza no kwa tse ya kuku mwishitopo rasha Eheke District zetu nyanyu kilo nipamu. Shinasha nundunda wa mangeshe fero landesha radio yomarandithiro kondando wa shiki ochimari wa chondora matere gerigatano. Shinasha nuyeri na tangu wa wedo hapo watathana na akapa kongwa zi honora wa heta tuwa imu eriari one ombari eriari onano.
All right. So we're looking at the players who are actually the player at the table when it comes to Venus Project. So the Total Energy is the operator, and they hold a 35.25% stake after an expected transfer of shares, as I said, from Galp Energia. And that's a Portuguese company that will retain 10%. So Total Energies is firmly in the driver's seat, okay? And then they are the one actually calling the shots here now. So on how this field get developed. So the Total Energies. And then there is Qatar Energy. The international oil vehicle, this is an international oil vehicle for the Qatari state. Okay, they also hold 35.25%. And that is a sovereign wealth fund backed by one of the richest country on earth. Yeah. One of the richest countries on earth. So they have also 5.25%. 35.25%. So on one side, now you can see this, on one side, you have two of the most powerful energy players in the world controlling more than 80% of the project. These are the most powerful, two of the most powerful energy players. Have been doing that for years and years. Okay? That's you have on one side. And they are the one who are actually controlling more of the stake. Okay? Controlling more than 80% of the project. And then there is Namco. Then there is Namco on the other side. On this side of the table, Total Energies, Qatar Energies, you know, powerful energy players, you know, with a lot of experience. On the other side of the table is Namco, our national oil company. They hold 10%. just 10. So the remaining shares, the other remaining shares are held by a few other minority partners. Okay. So when you look at the ownership structure, now when you look at that ownership structure, Namibia's direct stake in this project is shockingly, shockingly small. You know, 10%, shockingly small. Now, 10% of a project, I mean, you have to understand that of course that 10% of this, the 10% of a project of this size is still very, very significant. Okay? We shouldn't be dismissing that. It's still very significant, of course. But it means that NAMCOR is a junior partner, not a decision maker. It's a junior partner in this project. You know, it's the decision maker. So they are in the room, but they are, you know, they are not driving the agenda. So Qatar, you know, Qatar Energy and Total Energies are the one who are driving the agenda. So now here's something that that should very important. This that should make you really a bit worried. That should make you a bit worried, and I want you to follow very well what I'm going to say. Okay, I wanted you to follow very well. So now the 10% that we're talking about, the government, the 10% that we're talking about of NAMCOR. Now the government own. Okay. From the special advisors. Okay, our government, our own special advisor on upstream petroleum has publicly acknowledged that the project, okay, also acknowledged that the project carries a higher cost and complexities. So that's also coming from our own special advisors, okay, and that Namibia, so because of that, okay, because of the higher cost and complexity, now that's from our side. Because of that, Namibia is exploring a credit support instrument and international lending partnership to finance NAMCOR's 10% stake. So now we actually looking at a credit support instrument, exploring the credit support instrument and international lending partnership. Now to finance that 10% stake that we have. Now, our country, the one supposedly about to receive this 12 billion euros in revenue, might need to borrow money just to hold, on its share of the project. We need to borrow, to hold onto our share of the project. Now, think about that seriously. No, think about that. We need to borrow to hold onto our share. So that means the 12 billion euros in revenue, we will definitely have to share it now with wherever we borrow the money. We still have now to pay back the money. Are you following the argument? Now, let's get now to the heart of the matter. You're also welcome. You're also welcome to come through as well. Our telephone number we are now back on our line, on our studio line, 08333-66091, 08333-66091, unless something happened again. But I guarantee you it's fine, all right? So you're most welcome to come through as well. So now, let's get now to the heart of the matter here. All right. Now, according to the experts in the sector, the negotiation is not really about whether Venus gets developed. That's actually not about the negotiation. Both sides want it. You know, they want that. The government, our government want it. Total Energies and the Qatars, they want that. Okay. The negotiation is about who gets how much of the money. That's That's the matter. Okay?
A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Big Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
Good, good.
Hey, my...
Excuse me?
The sound, I think it's my sound, but okay, but go on, go on.
Yeah, because there's actually an echo there.
Yeah, there is some sound, yeah. Mm.
Okay. No, for me...
Yeah.
As long as you fund the finance, the project, through all those avenues that are there.
Yeah.
You know, the good taxi. There are also way of mobilizing for financial resources.
Mm.
And there is human capital as well.
But you know, the funny thing is this, the 10% stake that we have in the project, we are also still looking for someone. We are looking for to borrow that money somewhere else to fund the stake that we have in the project. That means when we get now the revenue, when we get the what was the revenue, we will also have to share that with wherever we borrow the money.
No, it's fine. So whether you borrow external or internal. Because I know most of the thought of most of these ministers now, especially from the finance, is to mobilize for the resources here. And you can borrow, it's not a problem.
Yeah, no, borrowing is not a problem. It's not a problem.
Especially the external borrowing, that's where most of the terms and conditions, and not strict conditions and things like that. Especially the multi organizations now that are trying to reform their borrowing system, all these things. And we're also not have been benefiting there very well.
Yeah.
So the reason I always know you have to develop big projects in water infrastructure or any other, those big projects, the capacity is not there and things like that. And of course, the process of building capacity is also going on.
Yeah, I think that has been indicated as well that our institutional capacity need to be built, because we haven't. I think we also have to understand that we haven't been in this field before. This is a new thing for us. So we need to start somewhere.
Yeah, especially I was listening to Minister, I conclude now, Minister of Works, Mkundi, that is. So, and when I was talking to, when I was listening, he was talking about issues of our construction companies, get that, all these other things, and it is a good thing.
Yeah, given that example, you realize when we needed actually to build the bridge, that was between the what that was actually washed away because of rain. You know, that was emergency. Which company did we take? It was actually a Chinese company. You know,
and we are not organizing ourselves, we are not coordinating and things like that. We cannot acquire capacity, or even the facility, the equipment. That's why the collaboration, joint ventures are being talked about.
Yeah.
Why can't you do those things so that you can then engage? And that is exactly the thought of the people. So thank you very much.
Well, thanks for coming through.
Welcome.
Yeah.
All right, you can come through as well. I don't know whether the echo is it's coming through on the radio. All right. So now what we're looking at here, I was looking at that. I was just saying that the negotiation, the issue now of the negotiation that leads to decision making, the final investment decision is not whether Venice, it's not whether Venice get developed. Okay? That's not the issue. I said both sides actually want this. The negotiation is about who get how much of the money. All right? And this is where now the things get very, very, very complicated and fast. So, the Total Energies, there was a time the Total Energies chief executive, okay, chief executive has set a clear condition. Okay? And I want you to really to follow those because they would be, they are conditions that actually put on our government, and that if those conditions are not met, we're probably not going to go forward with investing in this project. You understand? So at one point he actually, where was that? There was a forum somewhere where he mentioned that he has set a clear condition. The clear condition is that the final investment decision will only happen if production costs stay below $20 per barrel. That is US dollar. So if the final, you know, the final investment decision will only happen if production costs stay below $20 per barrel. Now, $20 we're talking now in an ultra deep water, 3,000 meter down, 300 kilometer from the shore, you know, $20 per barrel. You know, there are so many things that might not meet, that you'll not be able to meet that ceiling. Okay, if your ceiling is $20 production costs, then might be a little problem for us. Now, several industry analysts have even called that figure optimistic. That's really optimistic, and some have even called it unrealistic. So you understand that's unrealistic, but that number is now the ceiling for our government's ability to push for higher royal rates, you know, a better petroleum income tax schedules, you know, or meaningful export levies. So that's the ceiling. Yeah? That's the ceiling. Every extra dollar Namibia wants to take, pushes the project closer to that $20, you know, that's the cliff, to that $20 cliff. And then there's a question of when the money actually arrives. So that 12 billion euro figure, you know, so it comes with condition as well. It assumes oil prices stay at a $75 per barrel. Okay. So there is an assumption that, you know, well, if the prices of oil should stay at the $75 per barrel, it only kicks in after the development costs are fully paid off. So when now that money now will only comes in when the development costs are fully paid off. Well, that means that the bulk of the tax revenue does not actually start flowing in until mid 2030 at the earliest. That means until maybe 2035. You understand? Because first of all, we need to, you know, to pay off the development costs. Now, when you think of now mid-2030s, you know, let's say for the 2035 or 2036 or something like that. So what that means is that the current government's mandate could be long, you know, could be long over by then. Yeah? It could be long over. So by then, the current government is not the one that will be in. So you understand? So the politician making these decisions today will not be the one actually answering to voters when the real money arrives, or when the money doesn't arrive. You understand? So they would not be the one who will be there. And that's very important as well. That's very, very, very crucial. Eh? So that is a critical point. The people negotiating this deal are coming, you know, are committing future governments to a physical framework for 30 years. They won't be there. And of course, there is no guarantee that oil prices will stay at $75. So if they drop, if the cost overrun, if something goes wrong with the reservoir, Namibia could end up actually with a far less than what is advertised. But the contractual obligation would already be locked in. That would be already locked in. You know?
But at the moment, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Namibia could end up actually with... Dr. Mike.
Hmm.
I thought for the radio was open.
Okay, yeah. So there's no noise, ne?
Yeah. I see that you guys are back.
Yeah, no, the line is back now. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, which is a good thing. Dr. Mike, when it comes to oil.
Yeah.
I think our government, maybe our funding, if I do, was playing tactics until we are on that security, security say where we are, say we are safe now, to us to dig the oil. I think we done it so early, but anyway, the oil is facing out. That is one aspect also we have to consider.
Yeah.
But because you cannot tell me, Mike, since independence, we've been spending money. We spend almost like $30 billion. For researching the oil.
Yeah.
And we didn't find nothing at all. And it only take
one. What do you mean we didn't find nothing at all? Or we haven't produced nothing at all? Or we didn't find nothing at all?
No, they said they didn't find anything at all. Nothing. But they've been searching for 50. And they spent 30 billion for nothing. And this guy's Total Energy and what sell and what, they only take what? Maybe 2 years to discover the oil.
Oh, you mean this way? Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. So the thing is that sometimes I will look, I think we have people who are selling out our information.
Mm.
Because you cannot tell me we spend 30 billion for nothing. And we've been searching since independence.
It depends. It depends on who are you seeking to search. Do you have the equipment? Do you have the capacity? Do you have the expert who really knows what they are doing? So it depends who actually did that. Yeah.
Yeah, but my question is that, how can you just put pumping money in something which you know that you are not doing the expert? You don't have the capacity.
Well, it's like this. You know, no, you know, this person comes to you. No, I know how to build. All right?
Yeah.
I know how to build, and they put up their profile and all that, and okay, they have built before. But then you realize that, when they build, this is now a challenge. Maybe the building now, they build certain house, but now they have to build the mall. You understand? Now the challenge is building the mall. And you think, okay, the building that you have done before, they look good, but now they have to build the mall. They only build some houses, individual houses. So it becomes a challenge to them that they cannot be able to do that. You know?
Yeah, but that
is the magnitude, is the magnitude of the project itself.
We understand, but since you, at the beginning, if you know this person is not capable, then we have to consider that, no, either we stop here, then I'm looking for somebody else who are having experience in these things which we are dealing with.
Only when you know. Do you know what? If I come to you and tell you that I know something and that you don't know, you have to believe me because I'm the one who's telling that I know. And I know a little bit, you understand? My little knowledge that I know convinces you because you don't know. You understand? The leader doesn't know. The one who's approving, he doesn't know.
But that makes...
Yeah,
I understand.
Mm.
For you,
For me to approach you is because you are having experience. Even though now you've done it before, like maybe you build only house. Now we are talking about where you have to go for foundation, like because now, remember, it's a double straw house,
yeah,
which you never done it before. Sometimes I think you will need a expert who will know to be on your side. As now you are the owner of the tender.
Yeah.
You're going to have to go through to check who really, if this person is doing the job who is supposed to be done.
Yeah.
When I'm saying that we are having a lot of friends, like Russian, you talk about people who know, the experts. Iran, we're even buying oil. So,
but the thing is this, you know, I think the point maybe that you're not getting is that even if you ask your friend, they need to...
You can fool me one, or meet one time, or two times, but not three times.
But who did the initial, the one we used 30 million or whatever, 3 billion, who did it? Is it our own people or someone else?
They said our own people.
Okay. Now, our own people couldn't find anything. And then
they
maybe someone...
They didn't discover anything.
Yeah. But someone then realized, okay, we need to see that now. As I said, we don't know what have they used. We never really, the thing is this country have never done, we don't have a history of fuel, of oil, you understand?
Not at all.
Yeah, so whoever now tried to do the discoveries, they don't have the means. They don't have the means. That's why those people who have the means, the Total of this world, the Qatar Energy of this world, the Shell of this world, they took, as you said, they took them two years, and they know that, the deposit of oil in this place is this much and this much. And remember, this is in the deep, deep in the sea, 300 kilometers in the sea, you know, and about 3 kilometers down beneath, you know. So it really requires expert and people who know exactly, yeah.
Yeah, for me...
And maybe you're going to get that spicer. They were just spicing, you know?
Yeah, advantage is what we're supposed to take is that when we know that there must be something here, when we are going to hand over those papers to them, is that we know already that the oil is here. It's just the same like people are talking about with the Kudu gas. The Kudu gas people have been talking a long time, grade 4, or grade 5, or grade 7.
And we still don't know what has become of it up to now. You don't hear what comes out of a Kudu gas, you know? Yeah.
No, it's there, but the problem is that our government was not willing, maybe because of the finance that time, but seriously, up to now, we're not supposed to give it the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to have it even like that 51% where people are talking about. Now we are still going to get like, 30%, 40%, 10%.
Like, as I said, in this project, we only have about 10%. And when it comes to now decision-making, we are just, we're just on the table.
What are you going to do to say about if you are just doing 10%?
Yeah.
You just need to listen.
Yeah,
you follow.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it is.
The way we apply in our house is what we are doing with our government, which is totally wrong.
I don't know. It's just that, man, we also have to understand that we don't have the means. We just don't have the means, you know?
No, sometimes, it's what I'm saying. Guys, if we know that we are not expert enough, but the problem also that we can, because there's a lot of players around, and everybody's interested in that. Why do we shine for something like we are going to get 10% only?
Yeah. I think the question here that what we need to look at is how do you set up your contract? You could actually set up differently, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's not just about the 10%, but it's a way how you design your contract. How are you? Do you design with your country interest to win something, or you just okay, or just thinking okay, that maybe that will do for us for now, or something like that. And you have to think in terms of someone who's pressed by unemployment and issues of poverty and equality and all that, and you need some revenue.
That make why it does hit. It hurt us so much when we you go to even to review the what honorable who's in jail about two SMS. iPhone of two SIM cards. Because remember the person who was negotiating here for 10%.
Yeah.
What is for him? It's an iPhone with two SIM cards, or it's a Land Cruiser double caper. Or it's a farm. Huh?
Yeah.
Because for you to go to that extent to get 10%, there must be something for you.
Yeah.
That is what we have to look around. Which, no, if you are negotiating for the government and on behalf of us, the voters, then you're supposed to do your job. Not to come up telling us 10% because we didn't invest in nothing in that project. But, you know, in the expense, which resource for that country? If you are negotiating for our behalf, we invest the power in you, but you come only with 10%. Then you are telling us because we require a lot of amount of money to partner up.
Yeah.
In our own natural resource. Sometimes I think it doesn't make sense. I'm telling you, we understand that there are a lot of money required to do that. But it's our natural resource at the end of the day.
Yeah, it is. It is, definitely.
Yeah, it's really hurting. And then, Mike, seriously, to tell, it's all about oil also. When it comes to Namibia and Angola, I don't know if we are just going to be around the, like, you know, we cannot do anything. We are going to negotiate with them. Guys, just stand up. Get in the plane, go to Rwanda, talk about, say sorry for you to call your oil Gungula. We need your oil. That is what we need. Because if Botswana can do it, just imagine. Botswana going to Angola, using our road, take their petrol to Angola. But here we are saying no because of SACCO, what? Why you cannot bypass SACCO? Well, we know that Iran war, it was not our own doing.
Yeah.
Our people, we are suffering because of our government, because of what? Bureaucrats of projects, which because they cannot bypass the SACCO. Sometimes the way I'm thinking of our leaders, I don't know, man.
If you're part of that decision already and you are signatory to it, well, you got to stuck to it, you know?
No, I cannot stuck for it because no, the war has got nothing to do with me. And this way I used to get my oil. Now I have to do this just the way they did it with the white corona.
Yeah.
There are a lot of laws who've been broken in corona. So we can do it again with it because it's the war. And I cannot keep my people starving because of what? Because of the piece of paper.
Oh, yeah.
No, Mike. All right.
All right, man. No, thanks for coming, Drea.
Okay, my brother.
All right. Good morning and welcome. This is Unpacking the Day, and we unpacking the Venus project that is under the review, that's under negotiation for a final decision, for a final investment decisions that will be coming, that we'll be waiting, maybe in the last quarter of this year. So, but there are issues that we're looking at, and there was this beautiful articles that looking at some of the aspect that Namibia have to consider when it comes to these negotiations. So one of that is there is also another fight, happening inside this negotiation. So that most actually people are not talking about. And it could be the one that really blows the whole deal apart. So now, Venus does not just hold oil, okay? It holds an estimated 4.8 trillion cubic feet of associated natural gas. All right? Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, good.
Yeah.
You know, it's very tough. There is some things that you can't understand.
Yeah.
The project before we go to the site, we need money.
Yeah.
That is something that people don't understand. If we're climbing now that 151%, we give to those, okay, the Namibians, they run.
No, just before even you go there, now, Namibians, yeah. With our 10% stake, we are still exploring actually borrowing money to for the project. You understand?
Yes, that is what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
If you look at that 151%, 51% you are giving to the Namibians, right?
Yeah.
Who are those people that you are giving the 51%? And they have money on hand to give to the project.
Yeah.
This is the same thing that if you have a project, let me say you are winning a tender or something, and you go to DBN. You understand? DBN is asking you 30% money guarantee that you're leaving the bank for them to funding that 70%. You understand?
Yeah.
These are the same things, it's the same concept that they are using by the project manager or project or whatever. So this is now the reality of the thing. No matter your great children are coming, they must know that there was a project that we even we failing to fund the 10%. So it means we need to pay back the 80% or I mean the 90% to owning that
Maybe the other people can also look at it in this way. Are we too? And maybe we need to be in a hurry. Are we too in a hurry to get the project off the ground instead of understanding, okay, we have oil. Can we build up the infrastructure? Can we have what is needed so that we can be able to do this on our own?
This is what we need to learn and now.
Yeah.
We have a good example to learn, even in South Africa here or in Nigeria.
Hmm.
If you look at the impact that's happening into Hormuzana or Omaz or whatever.
Yeah.
So South Africa have a refinery, a crude oil refinery in South Africa, but they don't have a reserve.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't have money to buy crude oil and putting on the reserve. You understand? So this is where the problem is. They don't have money in hand. The South African government don't have money in hand to buy for them to planning the future. So they buy and processing and sell. Nigeria have crude oil.
Yeah.
And the refinery. But they want to build up a relationship with the international market.
But if the refinery, let's say for example, the refinery is in the hand of private, you know, you still don't, as a government, you still don't have any control of that, because as a private, I can sell to who I want, and still you lack fuel in the country.
No, yes. In South Africa, it is like that. On them, they are supplying us. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because of the contract that Namibia bridged, that's why Namibia is suffer for $34. Because of that. But that is a geopolitics. Let's leave the geopolitics. Let's go to the reality.
Yeah.
Leave South Africa and go to Nigeria. Nigeria, they are making crude oil. and they give only five, you understand? They give only five cargoes to Arica Dakota's refinery.
Yeah.
Which Arica Dakota need a capacity of 15 cargoes, you understand?
Yeah.
So they are selling, they're even putting up a good transaction, Naira to Naira.
Mm-hmm.
Arica is paying Naira and selling to Naira in the domestic the market.
Yeah.
And then get Naira, you go to take into the, so they were bypassing even 600 million. So what happened here is that the five is not doing anything. Arica Dakota have to go outside, yeah, with the US dollar again.
Yeah.
And come and making the oil expensive in the country. You see now?
You see, yeah,
this
exactly.
This is how now, yeah, this is what Namibia is. Maybe those people who are seeing, because oil here is not for gasoline only. Yeah. It's for a lot of things, guys.
Yeah.
You must understand those things. It's not only for petrol that you see in the car. No. It makes tires, it's making, toothbrush, whatever.
Make toothpicks.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are now the things that we need to understanding that oil is not for that sort.
Yeah.
It gives a lot of.
Yeah, there's a lot of product from oil. Yeah.
So what we need to understand here is that money, Oshoshetuke Ngerera, is the one that is making us difficult.
Yeah.
And for those projects, we are inviting people to come. And then we never tell them that don't come because we are not giving our resources.
Yeah.
If you could tell the people that, like that, they could not come. And now we are competing with South Africa because South Africa has already told us that. They know the belt now. They are no more using the geology. They just guide, go to Orange River, 5 kilos, this is the border between Namibia and South Africa.
Yeah.
That here, you will get the oil. You understand?
Yeah.
So while you are saying, I will not give you my oil now, South Africa is already doing. But South Africa is in need of crude oil.
Yeah.
You understand? So those are the problems that maybe some of us, we are not fitting on the table to talk about this. Because, to be honest, if we leave it for 50 years, our children will come and cry into that. Why we are left behind?
Yeah, and you never know. You never know what's going to happen in 10 years or 30 years. You know.
Yeah. So that is what now. Nigeria, they are selling good. Algeria, they are selling good. Yeah, but they say the capacity that is gap of 20% of the oil market, which is now. Iran is controlling.
Yeah.
It's making difficulty, yes, for some countries, but not all of the countries, because the problem here is a refinery. And one example that we need to learn is that when you don't have money, it's difficult for you. Look at Angola.
Look at
Angola for a refinery. They were looking for $4.8 billion. Nobody wanted to fund Angola.
Mm.
Until he went back to giving some of his portion to what? To Chinese companies.
Yeah.
Eh? Now China is still controlling Angola because of that 4.8 billion, because it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the other things also maybe that we don't understand, it's the same things like your personal credit in terms of like, if you are owing, let's say for example, you already have a bond, like a mortgage, you can't go and actually then have another loan until you actually finish that. And I finish paying that. I think from the country level, there's all such regulations as well, you know?
Yes, because what helping Saudi Arabia to go out of that? There was not a lot of countries that were playing this cat and mouse in the open.
Yeah.
So you know that, no. This is not the time for us to argue with the Standard Oil, which is an American company. Let them do business. We are making money. But in the future, when the car become more and this oil become in demand, we are the one who are controlling it.
Yeah.
But if you look at Qatar, for example, Qatar and Emirates, they are also buying shares where the market is.
Yeah.
They have a lot. If you go to London, they are the one that is having those mentioned that they are paying millions of dollars a month. You understand? So they bail out, they give money to those wise guys, to go funding in another project, and them they making money out of that. They know what is money because they send their children to they have those institutes of how to making money.
They
teach their people. We in Namibia we don't have those type of institutes that they teaching us how to manage with money. We don't have those people.
Yeah, definitely.
So we have all elaborators that they are leading. What is the article say? How you violated it and all of that. But we don't have an institute that is teaching us that the $10, the value of the $10 when you are lending to somebody is making more than what you are holding in hand. So those are the type of problems that we are now arguing on something that you don't understand. Why we are not having money to funding 10%? Why can't you be waiting for the next 5 years or 10 years?
I mean, if you look at our budget, it's twinkling all the time.
and the mistake, if you look at what they do to Elon Musk, they were supposed to do is sitting in the table with Elon Musk while South Africa is run away from him, because he's the richest man in the country. So you can make him welcoming him, put him on the table, and he become the biggest investor in your country.
Yeah.
But if you just look on the geopolitics, you say, let him go. Now those countries, they are benefiting because of what?
Yeah.
Because
in the end, really, you may be the loser, you know.
Yes, you will be the loser. Because now those guys, now they are looking another alternative to come back, but they will not come back within the good faith now.
So
those are the problems that...
There's a commercial coming up quickly, and then maybe round off later. Yeah.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai etetraweza kwa ombune kilo ombe ombi hukusha. Njiviro yoye irire ombupu oha kane na wina ikare na matha kumurungi wa indu. Walire ongere kusha umune ondenguo kuura kwa imba. Una oviume vya peke. So wondola amirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe. So kika ovingi mutukara norupa ondando ya peke yukianja oshimariva. Ola peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva. Ola peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva. Ola peresente umirongo ivari na dano. Kumyeze mulongo na ibari moshimarifu. Ito ororera ondengu chima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyango kife. Ashiesho imba ya kupe oshimariva shishihina omarufiro. Imba o maoronga neno uyeru haka enina. Itako na wina rishangita jimon.
Alright.
Yeah. No, it's just that maybe the example that we need to take is between South Africa and Nigeria about this oil reserve that we don't have. We must also start to understand some of the things, because we have the storage, yes, but that is storage we're targeting those neighboring countries.
Yeah.
While they are doing the same mistake that we are doing, now we suffer. You see now the government is suffer more because of that 1.5 billion that they are going to spend in 3 years if something not come right. Because here we are changing. They said we are going to the sweet crude oil, which is now Nigeria, Algeria, and Angola. But it will be expensive because we have to change the refinery, especially like the one for South Africa. So those are the problems that we are now facing ahead there. Because this war, there is a lot of countries that are making millions of dollars out of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, they are making the prolonged things like the 4 year of Ukraine-Russia war. So those are the things that when we are advising our people, we must look at who has the product in hand in terms of the manufacturer. That is what we need to learn about, not just to say it. I'm signing up with a manufacturer. Manufacturer maybe doesn't have a supplier. To making what you want. So those are the problems that we end up facing signing up with South Africa. And now we are suffer for this. Instead of if we could go to the refinery, like the way we are having to be Puma Energy in our country and Shell, who they own a refinery in Singapore where we are getting our fuel, but we're sidelining them. Maybe we could be even better now.
You never know. Exactly.
Yeah, if you look at Angola, Angola now they are celebrating.
Yeah.
They are no more crying of oil is up because them they didn't change. So those are the things that you need to learn. Sit at the table and understanding the things. You don't just jump on conclusion that no, it's our product.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
so nice.
Yeah,
same to you, ne? Have a great Easter. Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. 08-08-333-6091. Our studio line now it's open. You can actually come through and, well, come to the parliament and debate. All right. So the other area that I was looking at that I was looking at and I said is something that we don't talk much about it, you know, and this could be one of that blow the whole deal apart. So Venus does not just hold oil, okay? The project, it doesn't just hold oil. It holds also an estimated 4.8 trillion cubic feet of associated natural gas. Now, that it's a lot. That's a massive amount of gas. Now, Namibia's government want that gas piped to shore. They want it actually piped to shore, brought to shore, you know? And the reasoning is, it's actually straightforward. It's a reasoning is straightforward. We are a country that need electricity. Domestic power generation is real. Pressing needs. Those are the pressing needs that we have. So we need that, you know, piped to the shore. So, and using our own gas to generate power at home sounds like no brainer at all. So, and it will reduce our dependency on import, as we normally cry out here, create jobs and keep more of the resource value inside the country. So we need that out. Now, the total energy sees that differently. Now, they see it differently. They want to re-inject the gas back into the reservoir. So the reason of that is that because this is a common practice in an oil field, where you put the gas back underground to maintain the pressure. So which help now keep the oil flowing at a higher rate. You understand? So there are two, this is now the dispute between, you know, Total Energies and Namibian government. So now from their perspective, the reinjection maximize oil recovery and also therefore maximize revenue. So you see, and this is now the problem. So, and the problem, nobody seemed to know for certain whether gas reinjection, the other problem is that, you know, with the magnitude, with the scale of the distance, you know, so nobody seemed to know for certain whether gas reinjection at this specific depth and scale has been done successfully anywhere else in the world. That's actually the problems as well. So there is a genuine technical uncertainty here. Okay, if Total Energy cannot demonstrate that reinjection will work, or if Namibia refuses now to give up the domestic gas option that we want, this disagreement could become the deal breaker. So there are issues. So you have to understand that, you know, the final decision, it just doesn't depend on, it's like the process we went in with Starlink. You know, there were certain criteria that we follow that we think that, okay, this will actually compromise our data security, our sort of sovereignty. So even within here, so would Namibia actually give up now the gas? Should we give up the gas and then Total Energy use the gas actually to re-inject, you know? So I think those are things, and we can think that, no, that could be that the gas is can generate power, you know? Okay, can reduce our dependency on imports, can create jobs, And also the whole thing of what we are crying for all the time, you know, that resources, the resource value should be inside the country. So that's an opportunity. But Total Energies, as I said, they see differently. They want to reinject the gas back into the reservoir. So you see that's also an issue that really could become, as I said, could become actually the deal breaker. So, and this is not a minor. It's not a minor detail. It's not a minor detail. It's a fundamental question about what kind of. So if we're looking at Namibia, for example, as a country, what kind of Namibia wants to be? What do we want to be? One that export its resources for foreign profit? That's very crucial. Do we just export for foreign profit, or one that uses them to build your own economy? And those are issues, you know, that would make this final investment decision for go forward or stall. All right. Now, are we ready? That's the question that this article is asking. And I think this brings me now to what I consider a single most important question of this entire saga. Okay. Not the oil prices. So sometimes not the oil prices, not the geology, not even the gas dispute that we're just looking at here. So the question is, does Namibia have the institutional capacity to negotiate a deal of this magnitude and then manage it for the next maybe 30 years or so? So we're talking earlier on the Goliath, you know, the David and Goliath in terms of size and experience, as the previous caller mentioned, in terms of money and the experience. Yeah? So if you look at the numbers, okay, our government petroleum law dates back to 1991. That's the only law that we have. That is 35 years ago. That's 35 years ago. It has never been tested on a development of this scale, at this scale. Never. Okay? And even the Prime Minister has confirmed that that a revised petroleum law has been actually submitted to Parliament. So a revised one. And I also mentioned that the regional consultation on the local content policy have been concluded. So, but consultation is one thing, definitely. So passing and implementing a very strong legislation is another entirely. That's something different entirely. So, and up to now, we don't have the law. So we don't have the framework that actually fit what we are about to embark on. And, you know, this local content, it has become a phrase that gets thrown around a lot. In this kind of discussions. You hear this local content. That's the idea that Namibian business, Namibian workers, Namibian, you know, product should benefit from the project. Okay? Which is okay. It sounds wonderful in a speech. Yeah? It sounds wonderful in the speech, but the subcontracting ecosystem required meaningful local content. You understand? It required a meaningful local content which, you know, does not exist in our country at the needed scale. I was just talking, when we were talking to Uncle Bwana, I said, make an example of the what is that, construction. As I said, when the bridge was actually washed away by water, by rain, what happened? Who actually, when we needed somebody to do that, who did it? It was a Chinese company. Of course, the Namibian can you subcontract some company to, you know, maybe it provides trucks. Maybe that company is providing trucks. It's providing what, you know, it's providing sand, it's providing whatever. So you do that, but the who is the operator of the whole project? So that's the institutional, you know, capacity that we're talking about. So we don't have, for example, in this case, we don't have a deep water supply chain, do we? We don't. We don't have thousands of trained petroleum engineers. Eh? We don't have petroleum engineers. Maybe we have one or two, but we don't have a lot of them. We don't have, you know, this fabrication yard capable of building the kind of equipment this project demands. We don't. And it's not something that we now we can blame ourselves for, but because that capacity takes years. Maybe even decades, even countries that have this, it just didn't just pop up. It takes years. Yeah? It takes many years. And the project, but the problem, the issue here now is that the project timeline is already aggressive. It's already here. So let's say, for example, by the end of the year, in the last quarter of this year, the Total Energy says, okay, the project is going forward. Now, when we demand, you know, total local content, do we have it? Are they ready? That's the question. Are they ready? So that's the question.
Wahara kukusambinga, mesindana joshimara kuzapo mawabi umirongo hetatu ukapo mbanga. Shangika ano ngundoe yetanga, mama tigathana wotse ya kuku Easter Tournament, chiro kaika karako mama siku wa tatu, siku wa hamano wapi umtogo tungu. Poka pareke tanga, kotse ya kuku Meheke District. Umaudhano ga wunjuka, adhana ya teri kwa opo ya kareri kwa hiyo umvura umirongo ndatu na tanu, mono teavuro kusindana oshimara shumabu umirongo hamano na ntano kwa umuma. Shangika anu ngundwe nina, kio vilime, numathirigane, numirongo tano havike tuti. Kwa mbonoe na omvura, omirongo ndatu na hamonu shuka pumbanda, otamu kusa ombinga, mo legends category, category kako kere, mono to sindana oshimarwa, omaovi, omblongo na wakheali, numathiriga tano kwa umuma. Shangika anu ngundwe, numathiriga tano, kio vi alike tuti. Ukadono uonjuka. Saya kuku anyo Easter Tournament, na naini mpatira konje, shangika anu ngundwe, numathiriga tano, no dara omathiriga tano alike tuti. Kwa mawiri gawe wako, dengela nakapa, kuna rano kita tunoimwe, oimenone, ombariari, ontano, nondatu nohamano. Nenge kudasuva, kuna rano kita tunoimwe, ohiari nondatu, datu heari, ongoi, nondatu heari.
All right, our time is about 46 minutes past the hour of 9, and you are on Unpacking the Day. You are tuned into Unpacking the Day. So we're looking at the project, Venus Project. The negotiations are underway between the Total Energies and the Namibian government to reach the final investment decisions. So yeah, and we're looking at various aspects, you know, that what could go wrong. What are the other issues that need to be considered. And now we were talking about the local content. And as we said, you know, if this decision is made today, do we have the local institutional capacity to, you know, to contribute meaningfully, you know, to contribute meaningfully to this project? Okay, sometimes we can cry and this Namibians are not involved, but do we have the capacity? Do we have the petroleum engineers? Do we have the I don't even know how many what type of people you need for this kind of project, you know? Do we? And as I said, we don't have a history of oil. It's just happening now. All right. So we don't have history. So it's just happening now. We have to start somewhere. But are we also then, the whole thing is that, do we have a deliberate plan of building our capacity, our institutional capacity? And also we have to look at where we are. You know, our official unemployment rate, you know, is 36.9%, the highest in Southern African Development Community, in SADC. So an independent economist will tell you that if you count discouraged workers, you know, people who have simply given up looking, the real figure is above 50%. So it's massive. Now, in that context, the political pressure now to promise jobs and local content becomes enormous. But promising something and delivering it are two very different things. Now, Total Energies, on the other hand, you know, has been doing this for decades. They have been doing this for years. They have negotiated contracts in some of the most complex environment on earth. They have armies of lawyers, engineers, financial analysts, you know, and they have done this dance many, many, many times. This is our first dance. All right. We may not even put, you know, one step right. Yeah. So, and that, my friend, really is the how do you call that? Asymmetric, you know, that get me worried. That's the asymmetric that actually, the unevenness, that get me worried. Hopefully you have confidence, you know, that that's for you, but it get me worried. You know, when you look at that massive asymmetric, if you like. Now, let me ask you some questions, okay? Let me ask some questions that you need to think about. That you also come through. We still have about 10 minutes to come through. You're most welcome. So the line is open now. And the studio line, 08333-66091, 08333-66091. Okay, now, I want to turn this over to you for a moment. Just for you to think, because at the end of the day, this is your country, okay? Your future, your resources. It is your future, your resources. And I think there are some questions every Namibian should be thinking about right now. So now, my first question is, do you trust that the people negotiating on our behalf have experience and the backing to get us the best deal? Do you think that they are experienced and they have the backing to get us the best possible deal? Or are we about to be outmaneuvered by a company that does this every single day? Remember, this Qatar Energy, and you're talking about Total Energy, this is their daily bread. They do this every day. Do we have, you know, negotiating team that are experienced, that they can get us actually the best deal, a possible deal? Maybe that's what we need, maybe to look at seriously. We may have confidence in our own people, but are we talking about this is a major company that have been doing this? They can do it with their eyes closed. As I said, this is their daily bread. And you have to fight for every penny, you know, in this project. It's not going to hand it to you. In actual fact, they would like to take this for free. And in most cases, we hand off things for free. So now, my second question is, what would a meaningful local content actually look like for you? You know, what is that meaningful local content actually look like for you? How do you see that? Is it jobs on the platform, training programs, contract for Namibian business? How is it look like for you? Or is it something bigger? Okay, like using the revenue now, maybe using the revenue to fund, we have a free education, maybe to fund our free education, our healthcare, that is really need so much, you know, and infrastructure, maybe infrastructure, okay? Infrastructure now that will last beyond the life of the oil field, because at one point that will come to an end. So maybe it's funding the infrastructure that lasts beyond the life of the oil field. All right. So what do you think? Well, good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yeah. Mike, you mentioned something important, that there is some people are give up to looking for a job.
Yeah.
Because on the human resources, the system that they are using,
yeah,
they're hiring people that they don't have experience in, just because they know them, and that is what you're also failing those ministries and.
Yeah, and that's happened. That's happened a lot. That's a culture, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a culture which is now the people that were supposed to do things to improving and making the government saving money to open up and to hire more people. They are always in doing those damage control, which is some. If you look at most of those ministries, that especially the one that they were supposed to making money. They are the one that is bailing out by the government. So that is what also maybe Menetumbo needs into it. And I met with a lot of people that they ask if we know some people at ACC for them to reporting that. Because if you look at some ministries, you're finding one surname. Even if the surname is changing because the marriage status is changing there, but that child is for that person.
Yeah. He's just hiding behind the marital status, the marital name, yeah.
Yeah, those are the problems that are also making our company not to make profit to open up another company because of that. So that is what I wanted to say. It's not that the job is not there. Because if you look at the post that is now freezing because of no money, there are a lot. There is a lot of opportunity in the government that you're supposed to.
Oh, yeah. No, that's very true. That's very true. There are a lot of posts that's actually being freezed. Yeah.
Yes. I engage with them striking forward. It's one of the things that I'm also doing the research about it. But I know the people that you're hiring, they are not the right people that were supposed to run in the country.
Yeah.
People that have experience, they are the one. And there was also an argument that they said, when we were in the university with those children, we were the one that is correcting them, doing their assignment for them. But after we graduate, you left it.
They are the one who got the job and you don't.
You see now, so that's where the problem is. Anyway, Mike.
All right, man. Great. When the other thing is that really, when you look at, and that could be very, okay, that's going to be a story for another day. Okay. Yeah. So thirdly, and this is perhaps, the hardest one. Are we prepared, are we prepared for the possibility that this deal does not deliver what we hope? Or our mind are just, okay, are we prepared? You know, that this deal does not, that possibly that this deal does not deliver what we hope. What if oil prices collapse? Okay. What if production costs blow out? What if the field does not perform as expected? It's not a guarantee. So now my question is, do we have plan B? Do we have a plan B? Or are we putting all our chips on black and hope for the best? Eh? So these are questions that we need to answer and be ready about. So I would love, they're not much time anymore. So yeah, I would have loved, you know, to hear from you, but thanks for those who come through. Now, let me just quickly, you know, probably run down through what we, you know, some of the things that we talk about this, just to put it together. Yeah. So let me leave you with some main point from our discussion this morning, just to give you the picture, because there is a lot. It's really a lot to absorb, and I want you to walk away with the essential, okay? Number one, Namibia has entered a formal negotiation with Total Energies over the Venus deep water oil project, with a target final investment decision by the end of this year, okay? So the project could generate up to 12 billion euros in estate revenue over 25 years. So, but only under specific conditions which may not hold, actually. So, and we talk about those conditions. All right. Number two, we see that the ownership structure is heavily weighted against Namibia. The Total Energies and Qatar Energy control more than 80% of the project. NAMCO holds just 10%. So, and our government may need to borrow money just to finance that stake as well. So those are some of the issues that we need to look at. And number three, the production cost ceiling, of $20 per barrel, I think limit how aggressively Namibia can negotiate for higher royalties and taxes. So, and the bulk of revenue will not arrive until, as we have heard, until the mid-2030s. I mean, when we talk about maybe 2035 or so. So well beyond the current government's mandate. So these people will not be there to answer to the decision that they are making now. And number four, the dispute. Now, this, as I said, this is something that is not mostly spoken. The dispute over associated natural gas. So we're talking about in this project, the Venus project, whether it get piped ashore for domestic use, which we, the government, is actually, you know, pushing on, or reinjected to boost oil recovery, which actually the Total Energies is pushing on. So these two tensions still remain. This tension remain unsolved, and it could become, as we see, as a break deal. According to experts, say this could be the deal breaker. All right. Number five, Namibia is relying on a petroleum law from 1991 that has never been tested in this case. It's to say it's more irrelevant in our situation today. A revised law is in parliament, but not yet passed. So the institution, legal framework, and industrial capacity need to manage a project of this magnitude simply do not exist. So simply do not exist actually at the required level today. So we need to pass that law in the parliament. The time is going. And you know how our parliament go. You know how our parliament actually take times to pass laws. Yeah? When it comes to budget, they pass that. Probably that's gonna be. They're gonna pass the budget. They're gonna pass, even the current budget. But there are still laws that actually on the queue that still need to pass down. And finally, number six, the biggest variable in this entire equation is not geology, not oil prices, not even corporate strategies. It is Namibia institutional readiness. That's the biggest variable. So our ability to negotiate well today, to govern wisely tomorrow, and to invest to invest the proceed in a way that, you know, build a lasting prosperity rather than actually fleeting wealth, you know, because we can do that. And that is what will determine whether Venus becomes a blessing or a curse, eh? Or a cautionary tale, if you want. So now, this is a defining moment for Namibia. It's a really defining moment for Namibia. There is no sugarcoating that. What happened in the next 12 months of negotiation will really echo for 30 years and beyond. It is something for the future of this country. So we have an opportunity, yes, but opportunity without preparation, without institutional strength, without clear vision of what we want for this. We want this country to become that kind of opportunity can quickly become a burden. And I'm not saying we should walk away from this deal. What I'm saying is that we need to walk into it with our eyes wide open. Okay? So we need the best negotiator we can find. Go and get them wherever you can find them. All right? So, and we need laws that protect our interests. We need a plan for how the money gets used, not just how it gets collected, because that seems to be the case. And we need an informed public that asks the hard questions and hold its leaders accountable. Now, the future of this country belongs to you, my friend, belongs to the people who pay attention, and that's what we need to do. We need to pay attention, and that brings us to the end of our episode today of Unpacking the Day. So we're gonna now turn to we're gonna hand over now the mic to Tate France, who is coming up with Kuthamosha. From me, Michael Chevelli, I wish you you know, I'm still here tomorrow. So I'm still here tomorrow. I nearly said I wish you. Well, so still wish you a very good weekend. A good Easter weekend. Make sure that you travel safe, if those who are traveling. And have a very, very, very good Easter weekend. Yeah, from me, Mike. And all the best. And thank you. And goodbye.